We often think of things like wormholes and even Alcubierre drives in terms of traversing vast amounts of space, meaning distance, effectively faster than the speed of light. You say, make it so, and Wesley the teenaged whiz kid that somehow gained piloting certification of a superluminal starship before going to college hits a button and the Enterprise warps to some otherwise impossibly distant planet, where you have to host trade negotiations, or alternatively get absorbed by an oil slick creature. But moving through space is also a function of time. Put very simply, if you're going to cross space, it's going to take time. Einstein viewed both space and time as inherently linked, hence space-time. And whenever you start talking about faster-than-light travel, you are necessarily also talking about a time machine. But we already, no matter what we do, travel in time, forwards. We live, age, and so on. Time passes. This dilates, as is famous in Einstein's relativity. Time does not tick at the same rate everywhere in the universe, rather it's conditional. And indeed, when you approach the speed of light, you near the point where time stops. Go faster than the speed of light and time reverses. Or so it is thought. No one's ever done that to see if it really happens, because the universe doesn't let you. General relativity has been an incredibly successful theory with numerous experimental proofs, but it suffers from the problem that we know that it is somehow incomplete and breaks down in certain cases, such as the quantum mechanical world, and also inside the event horizon of a black hole, where the equations just start spitting out infinity. Most scientists believe that this would be solved by a quantum theory of gravity, if we can ever come up with one. But general relativity also predicts strange and mysterious things like wormholes, Einstein-Rosen bridges, and closed time-like curves that in principle may allow for some form of backward time travel. But backward time travel is fraught with paradoxes, such as the famous grandfather paradox, where if you interfere with the timeline, then your own timeline changes. This popularly was the disappearing person in the photograph of Back to the Future fame. But in physics, most answers to the question simply state that you can't go back in time, at least if you are large. The universe doesn't let you, and that's that. Hawking called it the chronology protection conjecture. But alternatively, there is a flavor of the many worlds interpretation, where you might go back to the past. It's just not your timeline, and when you do, it splits off. If you're a single particle, however, you might be able to do it, as in Wheeler's one electron hypothesis, where there is only a single electron in the universe and it bounces forward and backward in time. And we see that as countless different electrons, when it might not be. It might just only be one. Other oddities include, of course, the notion that a photon propagating at the speed of light does not experience the passage of time, even though it takes time to propagate through space-time. And then there's the idea of a particle exceeding the speed of light, which is predicted to then force time to run backwards for it. There's also an idea that the reason quantum entanglement occurs is because entangled particles can exhibit a state change not in space, but in time. In other words, entangled particles are messaging the past in order to precisely and instantaneously change state, despite distance. This would strongly suggest that the past tangibly exists back there, and beyond causality has an active influence on the now. Whatever now is, physics doesn't actually have a concept of now. There's only the past and the future, and now is a construct of the brain. But even the brain doesn't have a now, it just seems like it. But it does take time for electrical signals to propagate around the brain. Again, it takes time. Time, time, time. Yet we really do not know what time really is. Ask 10 physicists and you'll get 10 different takes. Some even say that there are different kinds of time. For example, some say that if you have a system where no motion occurs, nothing moves, then time would become irrelevant as nothing would ever change. But the universe doesn't allow that because of quantum effects that cannot be stopped. For example, if you stop all motion, uranium will still decay, and thus mark the passage of time. Yet others see time as a dimension, as in many versions of string theory. There we have 10 dimensions of space and one dimension of time that we are moving forward through. Interestingly, as embattled as string theory has been in recent years, it's actually now moving in the opposite direction, back towards viability. The reason for this is the recent evidence that dark energy is weakening as time progresses, which actually dovetails exactly with some of the string theory models. All is not lost in string theory, and work in that arena may well finally provide a way to test string theory, at least indirectly. Time as a dimension is an interesting take and somewhat intuitive in its own way, but back to general relativity and time travel. In the grain of the Alcubierre drive, in this case stationary, or a wormhole, there is a related idea called a Krasnikov tube, first proposed by Sergei Krasnikov in 1995. This has the same requirements of both a stable artificial wormhole or the Alcubierre drive, in that it requires exotic mass with negative energy density to work, a material we have no idea how to make, or if it even exists. All we know is that the laws of physics don't prohibit it. Where the tube differs, however, is that the endpoints are not just separated by distance, but in time itself. Effectively, what the Krasnikov tube allows is that if you are traveling at near the speed of light, you can create and use the tube to make a return trip that takes you back in time to your destination just after you left, but not exactly. In short, it's a free time lunch. Yes, I just said time lunch. In that you don't lose massive amounts of time in your travel, but in fact gain much of it back through a kind of time travel. The key here is that you must do this all at very near the speed of light, with time severely dilated. Now to the paradoxes and causality violations. Cause always precedes effect, which is the main argument against backward time travel. The universe very emphatically runs on causality. The argument for the Krasnikov tube is that it doesn't actually violate causality, in that all points in the round-trip path have a kind of time-like separation interval that gets past it, in short, because all along the path, there is still cause and effect. Curiously, this means that while you can travel back in time, almost to where you started, you can't send an electromagnetic message back to that time, solving the paradox of backwards communication. The universe prohibits it in this case, thus there is no causality or information violation, but there's a problem. Two scientists, Everett and Roman, found a potential wrench in the works of the Krasnikov tube. They demonstrated that if you had two Krasnikov tubes going in opposite directions, it would create a closed time-like curve, and that would violate causality. So a closed time-like curve is a prediction of general relativity where a trajectory through space-time, where an object or particle is able to loop back on itself in time, and thus travel to the past and create a causality violation by interacting with itself in the past. So the idea here is that if you created a tube to a distant star and you send a spacecraft through at relativistic speed, meaning from the occupant's frame of reference, going several thousand light years takes just over a year, they get there, and instead of going back through the original tube, they make a new one leading back to Earth. They get back and thousands of years has passed outside their frame of reference as expected, but it leaves two open tubes. If the astronauts go back through tube 2 and then go back home through tube 1, it becomes a time machine, and they end up returning to Earth thousands of years before they even left it in the first place, thus violating causality and traveling to the past. But that's only if the tubes are stable. That actually is unclear. The tubes are not physical objects, per se, but rather better seen as permanent warps in space-time. But it may be that quantum effects collapse them at some point before violation can occur, which is also a problem with wormholes. If this is the case, then Krasnikov tubes are simply not possible. In short, the tube collapses before a causality violation can occur. Ultimately, it's unclear. No one's ever built anything like this. However, if the single Krasnikov tube idea does work, an interesting effect of that is that it actually does not return you exactly to the time you left, but slightly just after it. Time still passes, just not quite normally. But you're still just traveling at relativistic speeds and not faster than light, as in an Alcubierre drive or a wormhole. The Krasnikov tube is thus a temporal-only phenomenon. This is interesting because it does not involve violating the speed of light, just very high, but legal, acceleration, which is entirely possible in the universe. How you would get up to those speeds is another matter requiring its own set of solutions, especially in how to do it safely. And there again is the problem of figuring out how to create negative mass. But it is an interesting take on time travel that doesn't suffer as much from gross violations of causality, at least on its face. Anyway, food for thought. Thanks for listening. I am futurist and science fiction author John Michael Godier, currently addressing the zillions that have been asking for a LeBaron update. I'm happy to report that I have successfully weaned it off of oil, leading to much savings, as I no longer have to pay the possum for oil changes, which his rates were highway robbery. Current odometer reading, 640,000 miles, like new. And be sure to check out my books at your favorite online book retailer and subscribe to my channels for regular in-depth explorations into the interesting, weird, and unknown aspects of this amazing universe in which we live.